1, 2, 3.
You're listening to Sports Talk Chicago with your host, John Zagluhl.
John, I am fantastic. Thank you for having me. You got an awesome voice, man, and that was a terrific intro. You're like a pro's pro.
You know, that was the first time somebody ever said that, John. No, you're the first person to ever say anything like that. That's very interesting.
You got it, John. Anything for a fellow Chicago guy.
Well, what a great question.
That's a great question. Nobody's actually asked me that.
I like it. What a great question. I never heard that before.
Chase Utley is what? You're saying he's not a Hall of Fame candidate?
You know, it's funny. You may be the only person that I've heard make that connection.
Thank you, John, for having me. I'm doing great. By the way, you have an outstanding voice. Not sure about your face because I haven't met you, but your voice is great.
You're doing a much better job than I ever did. You've had some heavy hitters guests on too, man, so keep up the good work. But it's good to be with you, and I'm ready to talk sports.
Hello, everybody, and welcome into Sports Talk Chicago. My name's John Zagluhl. Great to have you here. On the Thursday edition of the program, football insiders agree that Justin Fields should not start Game 1. We'll explain in just a moment, plus a brand new interview today with Jeff Joniak, the Bears radio voice. We talk more with him about the Justin Fields situation, the Bears draft, and what to expect for this upcoming season. It's a great interview, and it comes your way near the midway point of this show. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluhl. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Today's show is brought to you by State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Here's the deal. When you combine State Farm home and auto insurance, save an average of $889. State Farm agent Ryan McDevitt. Ready to help you combine home and auto and save in Chicago and the surrounding suburbs. Call Brian today at 630-796-2662. That's 630-796-2662. Or visit his website, ryanismyagent.com. That's ryanismyagent.com. And make sure to mention Sports Talk Chicago. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. I want to start today with this. I find it so comical that people actually believe, my audience, part of my audience at least, that I don't support Justin Fields. Apparently I've said on air that he's a bust, even though I haven't. And everybody points me back to the time I said the Bears shouldn't move up to get him. Yes, because I was worried they'd give up too much draft capital. Do we not remember Mitch Trubisky? Do we not remember who Ryan Pace is? It would have been a disaster if they gave up any more than they did for Justin Fields. I thought they gave up the right amount, a bit too much, but better than what it could have been. That was my concern with moving up. It had nothing to do with the talent of the player. And yes, I have every right to be skeptical. That too. And the fact that no one else is and is just accepting this and saying it's okay, it'll be fine, that's delusion. I'm not saying he's a bust when I say we don't know what he's capable of. That's a factual statement. It is completely factual to say I have no clue what he'll do in the NFL with the Bears. No one here can predict the future. As much as you like the idea of Fields and think, oh, next Mahomes, 40 touchdowns, running all over the field, we don't know if that's going to happen. And it's irresponsible to claim now in May he'll do it. Sometimes there's just no winning. And sometimes the truth doesn't want to be heard. I understand that. People want to be caught up in the delusion, say, oh, he's going to be great. He's our savior. Move on. No one knows anything. And here's the best part. Best part of all of this. I've had many guests on the program. People who know much more about football than I ever will. They've forgotten more football than I even know. They've all said the same thing. Sit and wait. Sit and wait. We don't know what he's capable of. Let him sit and wait. Randy Mueller, 2000 NFL Executive of the Year. formerly Ryan Pace's boss. Ryan Pace was an intern in New Orleans when he was the GM. What did he say? Wait. He said, wait till the bye week. See where you are as a team. If you want to make a playoff run, then put in Fields. He said, if you're sitting around 500 and Andy Dalton isn't doing it and you want to make the playoffs, make the switch then. Talk to Jeff Joniak. YouTube audience, we'll see you tomorrow. Radio audience has heard it already, and they'll hear it again today. When I asked Jeff Joniak what they should do, he said the following, I trust the plan. I do too. I trust the plan. Joniak said, this is not a new toy that everyone wants to play with and be rough with. No, it's a human being, quarterback. This isn't the new Nerf gun. This isn't a new car. It's a human quarterback who has feelings and emotions and has a mental state. If you rush him out there and he's not ready, mentally, physically, whatever it might be, you'll scar him for life. See, people forget that. Everyone just says he's better than Mitch. Yes, sure he is, for sure. But there are a lot of quarterbacks better than Mitch, young ones, who have not performed because they were rushed out to the field. Sam Darnold had the potential to be better than Mitch, rushed out onto the field. Now he's in Carolina. Everyone says he's going to get better. I don't see it. I think it'll be the same old song and dance because he's broken. I mean, come on. Do you think Sam Darnold is a good quarterback? With the passer rating of 84, you could say no weapons, okay. But you could control interceptions as a quarterback. You're going to go to Carolina, a team that couldn't win last year with Teddy Bridgewater. You're going to go there and win and tear it up? I don't think so. Look at Tua Tagovailoa. Tua was supposed to be a good quarterback. Now, you could blame injuries and say didn't work out, but the fact of the matter is, was not brought up right. Was rushed, not given full opportunities, no one around him, and he's on the downturn right now. They're actually treating him just like they treated Mitch. I mean, there were times last year in which Tua started, then times later in the year in which they just pulled him for no reason, put in Ryan Fitzpatrick. How do you think that affects a quarterback's mind? Tua should have sat all of last year, realistically. In an ideal world, should have sat, should have never played, and everything would have been okay. Instead, you trot him out there, then you take him out, then you put him back in, then take him out again. And this back and forth, this dance between head coach Brian Flores, Tua, Ryan Fitzpatrick, their general manager. The only negativity that's going to be there is for Tua. Tua eventually, and he probably already has been scarred because of that experience. It's not going to get any better unless he turns around this year and throws 30, 40 touchdowns. Then he'll forget about it. I don't see that happening. Don't have enough weapons. We all need to understand this. Let's look at other examples around the league, not just say, well, it's the Bears, whatever. Put them in. No. We all know about Tua, Sam Darnold. There are others, too. We all know about this stuff. Why is there an exception for Justin Fields? I get it. Big Ten, Ohio State. No, no, no. He's better than Mitch. He has more athleticism. Great. That's great. I agree. But how do you think he's going to do if he's rushed? Seriously. Will he perform? You know, I see so many YouTubers like me and radio hosts who claim the best course of action is to start him week one. My audience knows that's wrong. Not from me, from my guests. Jay Cutler even said, don't start him week one. See, it's so funny. There's a disconnect. Industry professionals who know much more about the game than even me say, don't start him week one. Yet we have all these bloggers and YouTubers and radio hosts like myself, people in my world, say, start him right away. Let me think. Who's right? The ex-player, ex-GM, who, you know, developed quarterbacks for a living? Or some guy yelling and screaming that Fields should start right away, who's never been a part of the game? You don't want to hear it, I know. I know you want me to come up here and wear a Bears jersey and say they're back, woohoo, and celebrate, but that's not necessarily the case. This is going to be a very serious training camp. Remember last year when the whole Nick Foles, Mitch Trubisky thing was going on? It's going to be the same this year. People don't understand that yet. It is going to be intense. There's going to be so many talks about it, back and forth. Huge dialogue. This is just the beginning. If you're already sick of wondering who's going to start week one and even moving forward, brace yourself. Because no one will be happy until Justin Fields starts again. So we could be in week five of the season. Andy Dalton started. They're 3-2. And there will be active calls from everybody to put in Fields right away. This is all just beginning. And the best part is, people who are involved in the NFL, who've been GMs, been players, broadcasters for years upon years, decades, generations, they've all said what needs to happen. Yet nobody wants to listen. I echo those sentiments. And I'm being told that I think Fields is a bust. Okay. So I think he's a bust by wanting him to wait. And by what I've been told from people inside the NFL, guests. But I think he's a bust. See that? Does anyone else see the disconnect here? You know, this is not going to be good for Bears fans. I'm telling you right now, we saw how divisive the Mitch Trubisky-Nick Foles saga was. And for those of you who know me, you know where I stand on that entire thing. It was divisive, and I still get comments about that today. Fine. I get it. But imagine how this will go. New fresh quarterback who does deserve to sit, should sit, according to every expert, versus the media and independent people who think he should start right away. And if he doesn't, it's a disservice to the Bears and to Fields and to the fan base. Just remember where I stood on all this. Do yourself a favor if you're a new subscriber, if you've watched me for a long time, listen to me on the radio. Always remember where I've stood. I've told you from day one. I was worried about draft capital. That's why I didn't want Fields. The Bears got him. Didn't give up too much. Now, everyone's saying start him game one. I don't think so. That's not just my opinion. That's the opinion of people in the game. Not just some independent guy doing a radio show. No, that's everybody. That's GMs, broadcasters, former players. Wait, that's what they're saying. Wait. It just makes more sense to trust the people who know more. That's what I'm doing. I'd rather trust the people who know more than me. And I'd rather trust myself. I've watched football. I know quarterbacks in the game today who've been screwed because they've been rushed in too early. Because their teams needed a spark, quote-unquote, and put them in with no weapons, no help, no nothing. And they were scarred for life. Hell, the offensive line, question mark there. What, do you want to put in Fields with a questionable offensive line? Come on. Oh, but he's talented. Sure he is. He is. But do you want that scarring him in his first year in the NFL? No. Why do you think Andy Dalton's here? He's the one they're experimenting with. They're going to put him in and see. Does the offensive line work or no? Why would you experiment with your brand new franchise quarterback? Why would you throw him to the wolves? Oh, he's not mentally tough enough. No, that's not it. Call common sense. If you get a new car, are you going to drive it right into the water and say, let's see if it floats? No. You're going to drive it around on some streets, then go to the highways, then take it on a cross-country trip. It's gradual. You don't want to ruin it or break it right away. Same thing here. You don't want to ruin the guy, break the guy, when you just drafted him and you moved up to get him again too. Experts agree with that assessment. It's not just coming from me, not just spewing nonsense. These are experts. These are former GMs, broadcasters, players. Why wouldn't we listen to them? Wouldn't they know more than me or you, anybody? I haven't been employed by an NFL team. I haven't played in the NFL. I'm going to trust the guys who have. They know much more. They know much better than I do. So for anybody you know who says start him game one or says, oh, I know the guy I listen to says start him game one, listen to the coaches and the players and the real people who've been around the game, not someone looking for a hot take. That's a life lesson. And I'm not saying come here to me. I'm saying in general, whomever you listen to. That's a life lesson. Listen to people who know more than you. That's what I'm doing. For those of you who listen on the radio, watch me on YouTube. You see the guests I have on. There's a reason why. They know more than me. I want to be informed. I want to know what's the truth. What's going on? Same concept here. I know everybody is quarterback starved. Everyone wants him to come in and play and be the savior. I know. I get it. Believe me. It's not time yet. It really isn't. There's no need to rush him. Jeff Joniak said it best. Trust the plan. I am trusting the plan. And it's hard for me to do that. Hard for me to trust Matt Nagy. But I want to wait and see how this plays out. I know for a fact, no matter what, he should not start game one against Los Angeles in Los Angeles as a rookie facing Aaron Donald with the questionable O-line. That makes no sense to do. It doesn't. I don't care how great he does in camp. Do you really think that's an environment for him to succeed? Aaron Donald, questionable O-line in Los Angeles, primetime, game one. That could scar him for life. That could break him right away. Why? There's no need to. The Bears aren't winning this year, and if they do, that's unbelievable. They weren't expected to win. See, before the Justin Fields pick, everybody said, oh, this team's going 4-13. They're not winning anything. No one expected them to. The expectations don't change when you bring in a franchise quarterback who isn't ready yet. Look at the 49ers. They still are starting Jimmy Garoppolo. They're sitting Trey Lance. When they drafted Trey Lance, no one said, wow, now they're going to win many more games and Lance will start. No, they're sitting it. And they're sticking with the guy they have for now. Same with the Bears. Drafted a new quarterback, sticking with the same guy. Nothing really should change. Now, if we're talking about the year after this one, 2022, yes, there should be good expectations around this team. I would say at least a 10-7 record. This year, I'm thinking more 7-10. There is no need to rush things. Do it the right way. And remember, it's not just me talking. That's not my crazed opinion. That's the opinion of people in the game. No need to rush Fields. It is unnecessary and completely unacceptable. Do this the right way. You want a franchise quarterback, right? Well, you have to develop it. Like the stock market. Everyone right now looking for a quick buck. The people who are smart when it comes to the stock market are in it for the long game. They're not looking to make $1,000 or strike it rich in 2 days. No. You put your money in a good stock, Apple, Google, Amazon, and you let it sit for 15, 20 years. Then you make your money. Same concept. Can't go all in on Fields for a quick buck. What you have to do is go all in on him for the long term, 15 years. That's how it's going to work. If I were you, don't get too riled up. Calm down your expectations just a bit. I believe in Fields, but I do believe he needs to be developed. And I don't think it's beneficial to start him game one, throw him to the Wolves, and let him fend for himself. He's an investment. He's a franchise quarterback. Let it be that way. Don't rush him for no reason. More to come here on Sports Talk Chicago. My interview with Jeff Joniak comes up next, so stay tuned. Hey, do you want to make some money this weekend? What if I told you I could offer you $250 free, depending on any game you want? Here's what you have to do. Go to sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. Must be 21 plus, must be an Illinois resident. You can bet $250 free on any game you want for this upcoming weekend. NBA playoffs going strong. Cubs and White Sox are going, and the NHL playoffs, plus, of course, Bears prop bets. See, if I were you, I'd bet Justin Fields starts zero games. I don't know. Maybe. Will the Bears win week one? That's already out. You can already bet on all of this stuff. It's a great time to put down some money and win a whole lot more back. At sportstalkchicago.com/cash. sportstalkchicago.com/cash. You have a gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Sports Talk Chicago. Here with John Zaglul, and we are back and ready for today's special guest. He's the radio voice of the Chicago Bears and the sports director at WBBM. Please welcome Jeff Joniak to the program. Jeff, it's great to have you on. How are you?
Yeah, appreciate it. Thank you. Glad summer's here and looking forward to enjoying a little time off and then get back at it and start up the process of the 2021 season. Can't wait.
So, Jeff, what was your reaction to the Justin Fields pick?
You know, I hosted draft coverage on WBBM that night. And in retrospect, I felt that we didn't give it as much attention, not attention, but like the factor of wow. And Dan Pompey and I, we talked about that. Tom Thayer, how Barkish was on that night. And, you know, it was, in retrospect, quite stunning because the chances of them getting a quarterback of that nature where they were sitting at number 20 certainly complicated the process. But I recall when the trade was made, but before that, when Denver took Surtain, I literally said, wow, because not because they took Surtain. I knew there was a connection with George Payton, with his dad. You know, Patrick Surtain Sr. was with him in Miami. But, wow, I think the Bears are going to – they're going to do something here. And sure enough, they did. And getting him was, you know, an outstanding move. Going into the draft, didn't want to give up a ton of draft capital to make a move of this nature. And they didn't, in my opinion. You know, one first-round pick is plenty. And let's keep it at that and move on and continue to build the roster. But it's very good to have him.
What excites you specifically about his game?
Well, you know, I'm going to break it into two parts, John. First of all, seeing him live at minicamp for two practices, you know, the smoothness at which he operates and moves. And that's what you look at. You're not seeing a lot, number one. There's no helmets. I mean, excuse me, there's no pads. There's no pressure of a pass rush or anything like that, but just his movement skills. So I look at feet. I look at how he throws the football, how it's coming out of his hand, those types of things. Just, and the word I keep coming to is smooth. It's very smooth, even as something as mundane as a handoff and how he hands the ball off. So there's a lot of the footwork and things that of that nature, the fundamentals that, you know, just operate very almost nonchalantly for him. He's clearly a great athlete. He's got a big frame. And, you know, there's been a lot of comparisons, and even from out of his own mouth, to Russell Wilson. And I can see that, but a bigger Russell Wilson, you know, in terms of height. And, you know, he's still young, so he's going to add. And he's a big gym rat, from what I understand. So he's going to be in the weight room. He's going to add muscle. And he's going to really fill out over the time, over the years. So I think this is, you know, if you're – putting a list together of all the different aspects of what you'd want in a modern day quarterback, he fills all those boxes.
Jeff Joniak here on Sports Talk Chicago. So, Jeff, based on what you've seen, what do you think about who starts game one?
I'm still going to go with the plan. I'm going to go with Andy Dalton until something proves otherwise. And I don't have a problem with that. I knew I was going to get this question because that's what everybody wants. There's nowhere I go where somebody doesn't say, okay, so he's starting, right? No, there's a plan, and let's go through the process. You know, I've made the same analogy on draft night. You know, you don't quite know what the plan is. You kind of have an idea what teams want, but it's like a painting being, you know, half finished when everybody reacts. Let's just wait and see. Let's get through training camp. We're still in a COVID environment. I don't know what training camp will look like. I have no idea. Neither do you or anybody else. And let's just see what the process brings. If a guy is so good and so adaptable and understands the system so well, you know, it'll be hard to keep him off the field, you'd imagine. But right now, let's just wait and see. Andy Dalton's a veteran quarterback. He's certainly well-experienced and well-versed in many different systems. And he is a point guard quarterback. So that also fits what the Bears would like to do, get the ball in the hands of the playmakers and let them do something after the catch. You know, this quarterback has a very good big ball arm, and I'm sure that's also very inviting for head coach Matt Nagy and the offensive staff, but there's a lot to learn. And we've seen plenty of quarterbacks damaged by being rushed out there. Just don't rush it. He's not a new toy that everybody wants to play with. He's a young quarterback that still has to learn.
Could you see him winning with Dalton or being competitive and playing competitive football?
Sure. Well, I mean, why not? He was putting up big numbers in Dallas, and he had a heck of a supporting cast, obviously, at the skill positions and a pretty good offensive line. So, you know, if those things come through, you know, it all starts. To me, it's not about this year, about, you know, what happens with Andy Dalton and Justin Fields. Is the offensive line, the way it will be ultimately constructed, is it going to play well? Because great quarterback play overcomes some things, but it doesn't overcome a lot of things. And so that offensive line, it's on their shoulders to really start to play consistent quality football, hopefully stay healthy. And I'm talking about James Daniels and making sure he's ready to go. And that's an important piece. He's a high draft pick that has to have a great year. And what happens in the battle for left tackle with Tevin Jenkins? Is it a one-man show? I mean, is he going to be the guy? And that's a lot to learn too. That learning curve, the focus should be on that, in my opinion, the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball.
How do you feel about the draft picks Ryan Pace made to bolster the line after Fields?
You know, he's got 10 homegrown players now on the offensive line. So whether it be undrafted guys like Sam Mustapha, who clearly is on a very high trajectory at center after what he, and he's a leader, he's a team leader already. That's an undrafted player. Alex Byers did very well as a starter, and he'll compete as well and at a minimum be a swing player. So those are two young guys. They drafted two young guys last year. They drafted two more this year. I'm very excited about Larry Borum also. Very athletic player, despite his size. He's dropped a significant amount of weight to be put in this position, and I know they want to add a little bit more, but he's a big dude who can move. So I think that's going to be a person to watch in training camp as well. They definitely needed somebody to compete for that nickel spot. So Thomas Graham will. They've invested some resources into that position. But, you know, Buster Skrine, when healthy, was a more than adequate player and a veteran savviness in a very difficult position. There's so much you have to know at the slot nickel. You have to know what everybody else is doing, the other 10 guys, and dealing with some very high-quality athletes at the tight end position and guys out of the backfield and the slot receivers that are so dangerous in this league. That's a very important position. So I'm glad, even though it's a sixth-round pick, that's a guy that I'm intrigued by. Played 40 games. He got his hands on 40 balls in games. So that's a significant number. He's not the fastest guy, but he triggers quickly downhill, and I'm very intrigued to watch him as well. And, you know, overall, all the guys that they drafted, those guys are all going to get a chance to play, I think, this year. So I'm talking about Daz Newsome and Kyrus Tonga as well.
How do you feel about Newsom specifically in the wide receiving corps?
Well, you know, again, he's a sixth-round pick. He's got a lot to learn, too, and those guys that we've seen over the years. You know, we're still kind of waiting on Anthony Miller, the second-round pick, and Riley Ridley, the fourth-round pick a couple of years ago, hasn't had a lot of playing time. Obviously, Mooney emerged last year, but, you know, receivers today, no matter where they're picked, even undrafted guys, they make an impact if given the opportunity because the passing games in college are so now very similar to what they are in the NFL, but there's still a lot of route adjustments and concepts that have to be digested and learned, and it's not an ad lib. You're supposed to be where you're supposed to be when you're supposed to be there. So, you know, sometimes when they're young, they don't get that. But this guy's a baller. He's a football player. Everything I've learned about him and whom I've talked to, he's pure football. He's kind of a uniter as well. He's got a big personality, brings people together. So he's an interesting character for sure.
Who's the X factor of the draft class? Who are you most excited by right now?
Well, I'm going to go Borum. I'm going to go Borum as an X factor, as you know, because he's a fifth round offensive tackle who has the ability to swing inside. You know, they're paying Jermaine Ifedi to play that right tackle spot, but I'll go with Borum as a guy that I'm excited about. And, you know, I'll do a X factor A to Herbert, the running back out of Virginia Tech, because his body type, again, when I look at players, I'm looking at how they're moving, granted without pads, what they're doing and what they look like. And he's a thick-thighed running back who I think really earned the respect of teammates and coaches quickly at Virginia Tech, being there just for 1 year and put up some terrific numbers. And he brings special teams to the table as well. And so there are some special teams holes that are big ones that have to be filled. So I think that his addition really rounds out the running back room significantly.
How excited are you about the running back situation with Montgomery back and Tariq Cohen healthy too?
Yeah, and, you know, it's going to be challenging for Tariq to come back after the death of his brother. Let's be real on that, you know. So hopefully he'll be okay, and prayers with him and his family. But coming off an ACL, too, you don't exactly know how it's going to be. But the addition of Williams as well to David Montgomery, who I think, you know, I've spoken with you about this before. I'm very high on David Montgomery. I think he's going to be an outstanding running back in this league for a while. And I think we saw a big glimpse of that in the last half of last season. So the best is yet to come from him. Again, if he can stay healthy and not have any nicks along the way, there's plenty of options in that backfield now, and they're good options. They're very strong options. So I'm excited about the backfield. And Montgomery is a much better pass receiver than people give him credit for, too. And I said in there his rookie year that he's a 10-touchdown-a-year guy, and I think he's going to wind up being that way, whether it be running it in or catching it.
So, Jeff, what's your expectation for this upcoming season?
You have to talk to me after training camp. I always reserve the right to make that, because things change drastically. You know, injuries, still there's player movement going to happen after June 1st potentially. So, you know, what's the roster going to look like? You know, how's everybody's mental? You know, did Eddie Goldman come back ready to play? Is he mentally into it? Are there going to be guys that are going to opt out? You know, that still could be an option, you know, because we are still dealing with this stuff. So, there's no information I have, but, you know, around the league, just keep an eye on things because you just don't know. And, you know, that makes a difference. And how things are blending with this new offensive coaching staff, basically, with all the new additions. And then the defensive coaching staff, you know, where are they at? How's Sean Desai adapting? I know he's a very smart guy, but this is his first rodeo in terms of being a defensive play caller. So all those things I'll have to report to you after training camp. But, you know, they have the makings still of a very good defense. They've added more assets to the offense. The quarterback play has to improve. So no matter who's in there, that needs to be a necessity. And these playmakers have to make plays. They have to make plays with the ball in their hands.
Does the schedule concern you, the strength of schedule?
It's very hard. I think it's a very hard schedule. But the good news is the entire NFC North has a very hard schedule. They all do. The strength of schedule, they're on, all in the top eight, the entire division. So it's going to be gritty, to say the least. It's a challenging travel schedule, unique in that there's no back-to-back road trip games or home games. I don't recall a schedule like that before in my time calling the games. So that is interesting, and you certainly know where you're going to be. There's no wondering. It's an alternating schedule. That's a benefit, in my opinion. You know, not many short weeks. There's some short turnarounds because of Thanksgiving, but players like that extra. It's like a bye week, so they don't mind the Thanksgiving game, frankly. And but the teams that they're playing, and you're basing it on the year before.
Right.
Again, come talk to me, when everybody's rosters are set. So, the powerhouses are going to probably be the powerhouses, but everybody's one bad quarterback injury away from being just like everybody else.
What happens to the Bears' playoff chances if Aaron Rodgers doesn't play?
I think it's still a very good football team. So, yeah, Aaron Rodgers is a huge difference maker, but I just still have a hard time believing he won't be in Green Bay. I just don't think he's, I don't see the value in them trading him to a team that is going to instantly become a contender, given what they get in return. You better get a starting quarterback and higher first round picks than you would be if you sent him somewhere where they're going to compete for a title and get late first round picks. I'm not saying that I have any insight into what's going to happen, but I just have a hard time believing he won't play in Green Bay. So, what you face whoever, he could be injured in the first week of the season, and that changes the direction too. So if they don't have him, that's how you look at it. If they have him, let's go beat the Packers.
More to come with Jeff Joniak in just a moment. Stay tuned. This is Sports Talk Chicago. Joniak, still here on Sports Talk Chicago. Jeff, two more questions before we finish up. First off, your favorite Bears game that you've called over the years is what?
I mean, it has to be the NFC Championship game to get to the Super Bowl. If the Bears would have won the Super Bowl, I would have said that. But, it's 1-1A. Certainly, those are magical moments, and they don't come around very often, and they haven't come around very often for all of us Bears fans. So, it was a euphoric moment in the snow globe moment at Soldier Field to advance and knock out the Saints. And, you piece back together. I was Drew Brees' first year. And to think that I'm now into this as long as, first year with the Saints and his retirement coming this year with the Saints, it's kind of weird. But, and then the Super Bowl, due in part to the opening kickoff by Devin Hester. So that will always live with me forever.
Did you think they'd win after that kickoff went back by Hester?
Yes. If they would have kept running the ball, I believe they would have won. And they stopped running the football and put the ball into Rex's hands in inclement conditions. And that proved to be, in my opinion, a miscalculation. Thomas Jones wanted the ball, and the O-line was blocking what was not a great defensive line, because of a lot of circumstances over the course of the season for the Colts. And I just think the momentum was on the Bears side. But, when you look back at that, I think anyone who played on that team, they may not admit it publicly, but I know deep down in their heart, they believe that they would have kept running the ball. They would have upset the Colts.
And Jeff, before we finish up today, last question, what's the funniest moment that you've had with Tom Thayer in the booth?
Oh gosh, there's so many. I mean, most of it because of my own idiocy. So whether something stupid comes out of my mouth or me forgetting my glasses and it ticks him off to the point that, it kind of weaves a theme through the whole broadcast. But that's the beauty of hanging with your best friend on the radio right there every Sunday. You have these moments that you take your relationship to the air, and it just becomes part of the fabric of the broadcast. And that's true for our entire crew. We're very close. Behind the scenes, and the guys that people don't hear about, the people that work on the broadcast, I value as some of my closest friends, and we look at each other as family. So you get a lot of funny moments, but too many to get into right now.
Well, Jeff, thank you so much for joining me. Always a pleasure to have you on, and best wishes, of course, as the new season comes up. Thank you so much.
Appreciate it, John.
Great talk there with Jeff Joniak, and that'll do it for us today here on Sports Talk Chicago. Big thank you to Jeff Joniak himself, Matt Dubio, WCKG, Jim DeTalb, and Tomorrow Entertainment for making this show a success. Remember, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram at John Z Sports and on Facebook at John Zagluo. And if you want to listen to this show at any time in podcast form, search up Sports Talk Chicago on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, YouTube, and SportsTalkChicago.com. Another great show comes your way tomorrow. Thank you so much for listening. Till then, stay safe, and so long, everyone.
No! No!
Mirror the turtle!